Hello, and welcome back to Piercing the Veil, A Pagan Perspective. As always, I'm your host, Joe, and it's great to see you back. I do apologize for the long time between uploads, between dealing with some personal issues, and just a general kind of searching for if I should end the podcast or if I could come up with any new ideas. As I've been a little short lately, but this time I wanted to talk about something that came up talking to a friend of mine who was looking for advice for some friends of theirs, and that had to do with trying to banish spirits or remove them from a house. And I mean, that's a tricky situation to start with and should definitely not be undertaken if you do not know what you're doing. And from what my friend told me, these people seem to be very genuine, do their research. But in this situation, it seemed like they had gotten a little over their head. And that comes down to really knowing your limits when dealing with spirits. You know, there are a variety of different kinds, as we've talked about in previous episodes. And they all react to certain behaviors differently, especially if you're dealing with something that is non-human. It's a lot of etiquette, I guess you could say. You know, a lot of give and take, knowing how to approach them. And you also need to be able to understand when a spirit should be removed versus ones that kind of belong there. And that's something you have to use kind of your own judgment on. Basically, if something belongs there, if you follow your intuition, that's kind of what it'll feel like. Like, that is their home. They belong there. They don't feel out of place. And in some cases, that can be spirits that have been causing issues. But that's because the family in the house or the people in the area are not behaving in a way to appease the spirit. And in those type of situations, that's really all you can do. You know, whether you leave offerings out for them, whether it's a situation of, you know, you should always say hello or goodbye. Basically, think about proper etiquette when dealing with another person. And especially if this is a spirit that belongs there and kind of has the air of owning the space, you should act as a welcome guest, not as, you know, I control this place, this is mine now. Because in those situations, it's really not. You're essentially being allowed to remain in that space because the spirit is not offended by whatever you're doing. Now, for something that should be removed, this should be very obvious that you get a sense of wrongness, that something should not be there, and in general, like, if you want to run away from it, chances are it's really not supposed to be there. Because if something inhabits an area, unless you are doing something wrong or outside of their sense of etiquette, you should not feel directly threatened by it. Now, there are always exceptions to these rules. These are by no means, cut and dry or anything like that. But you really need to know what you're getting into before you say, "Oh yeah, I'll cleanse that space for you." And you definitely don't want to really go hunting for places for that. I know when you do know a lot about spirits and know that you have some talent with it, there's a very big temptation to kind of flex your muscles and go looking for trouble, essentially. And I mean, I've felt that myself. Like, obviously, any of you who have been listening to this for a while, I have plenty of experience, but I've never been on, like, a paranormal investigation or anything like that. Personally, I'd love to. I think that would be very interesting. But at the same time, I don't want to feel overconfident and walk into it like, "Hey, I got this. Yeah, none of this should be a problem." Just like any other person, I need to do my research. I need to feel things out. If we hit a point that my instincts are screaming, "Get the hell out," I'm gonna get the hell out. But I'm also gonna make sure that other people get out too. That's just part of my nature. I don't want people to get stuck in it. But there's always that temptation of, I want to see what I can do. I want to kind of push my limits and see how far it goes. I want to justify the things I feel by putting it to use in a practical situation, which I totally understand. Like, as I said, I have those urges too. Even though I'm more aware of it, I'd still very much be interested in doing a paranormal investigation, because I do kind of wonder sometimes. Just kind of seeking out that validation, which, I've gotten before. I've done some walks with other people who are sensitive and often will end up picking up on the exact same thing. So that validation seems to be there for me, but I have plenty of self-doubt issues, so that's something that'll never really go away, no matter how many times I justify it to myself. But basically, like, always know your limits. Don't go charging in expecting to be, the spiritual Rambo, that you're gonna cleanse this house all by yourself. Be gone, demons, and all of that. Because that's not how that works. So, sorry to tell you, everyone has to have backup, because you never know if something is going to turn out to be stronger than you think it is. If it's something that you're just not familiar with, that you don't know how to handle, that's why you typically don't send in someone like me by themselves. There's always at least one or two other people. because you always need your backup, and you definitely want people to drag your butt out if you're getting in too deep over your head. You know, kind of a safety in numbers deal. But, yeah, it is hard to decide when that is the case. And, like, for example, with these people that my friend was consulting with me for, they obviously had the experience. They mostly knew what they were doing. But the entity that they encountered was something far beyond their talents, and you know, I had to give them the recommendation of, you know, look, you need to not go after this thing yourself. You need to approach someone with more experience or who is better suited to deal with these things than you are. You know, thankfully they took that advice. And I've definitely learned through that little moment that I'm not exactly the, you know, the gentle teacher, I guess you could say. If people come looking to me for advice, it's more of a, okay, get your head out of your ass. This is what you need to do. Rather than a, oh, well, let's sit down and talk about it, and, you know, you did okay, but this is what you need to do better. No, I've learned that I'm very blunt and to the point, kind of like the crazy old man at the edge of the forest, who, when you come to for advice, the first thing he tells you to get off his freaking lawn. But, yeah, the we all have our own styles. And I do feel a little bad about that style, because I am not typically a grumpy person. I try to be very gentle and caring. But when it comes to things like this, I am very passionate about it. And kind of pull no punches with my advice, you know, especially if it's something that I know a lot about. If it's something I don't know about, I will tell you, and, you know, try to do some research on my own to help, or point you in the direction of somebody who does know better. Because, I mean, I am by no means an authority, or like, professional, or whatever. I'm just someone who has a lot of practical experience, who has done a lot of this stuff, not because I wanted to, but because I had to. So I guess that's kind of where that attitude comes from. You know, that my experiences are born of necessity rather than, you know, casual research or anything like that. But it, basically the gist of what I'm getting at here is, we like to think that we have an answer for everything, but we really don't. There are plenty of entities out there that you are not going to be able to just, you know, say some fancy words, throw some stones around and some salt, and get rid of them. You know, my toughest one took pretty much all day of non-stop ritual behavior to get rid of, and this was something that I definitely would never recommend to anybody that they deal with by themselves. For those of you that have listened to my previous episodes, I'm referring to the shadow man I dealt with at my old house. And that was probably the toughest encounter of my life. Even that I was woefully unprepared for, even though I did a lot of preparation. I did do it by myself, but I do not ever recommend that. If something had gone wrong, I would have been in deep crap. And I do not want to see anyone hurt trying to deal with this stuff. And like I said, the process took several hours during the day, and I was on time crunch because I was trying to do it while my parents weren't home. On top of that, it was physically painful, mentally painful, and I'm pretty sure I got a good 2-3 hour nap in by the time I was done, because I was completely exhausted. But anyways, that's kind of all I had to say on the issue. If my friend's friends listen to this, hopefully my advice was helpful, and hopefully my friend was able to soften my tone enough to make it not seem borderline condescending. That was not my intent. But anyway, thank you for listening. Last I looked at my numbers, my podcast has reached over 1.4 thousand listens, which is absolutely insane to me. I would have never assumed that people would want to hear my voice that much. But please, if there's anything you would like to hear, if there's any advice that you'd like me to talk about, feel free to message me on the Facebook page, which is Piercing the Veil on Facebook. Send me an audio message on Anchor, or if you know me personally, feel free to shoot me a message on my phone or Facebook or anything like that. I am always willing to help. And I really love to know like what else you guys would like to hear from me. Because I'd like to keep doing this regularly. But anyway, have a great night. I'll talk to you later.